Thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the Watchman on the Wall podcast. Periodically, we'll bring you true stories of angelic encounters, heavenly visitations, near-death experiences, as well as modern-day prophecies that are relevant to us today. When we come back, we'll begin our next episode. Hello and welcome back to the Watchman on the Wall podcast. Today, Randy Kay interviews Brian Melvin, who had a near-death experience. Now, Brian was a self-proclaimed atheist, but when he died, he encountered Jesus, who took him to hell, where he saw many people, including Adolf Hitler, and it changed his life forever. Now, these stories of hell are always scary. They are for me anyhow. But I think it's very important that we all understand that there is a hell and how we can avoid going there. So without further ado, here is Randy Kay interviewing Brian Melvin.
Hi, welcome to Heaven Encounters. My guest today is Brian Melvin. He was a self-professed militant atheist, and then he died. And he experienced hell after his death. But there was an event that was after that that is also very intriguing because God gave him a vision of heaven as well. But I guess, Brian, we'll start with the hell experience and welcome to our program.
Well, thank you for having me, Randy. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And let's start there with how you died and then after that, how you entered into hell.
Well, pretty make a long story short, you know, I got about a 5-hour testimony. So, but anyway, I found myself drinking some bad water, polluted water out of a thermos, and I contracted cholera and basically dehydrated and died. And that's how it all began. And I recall about 3 days after I drank the water, taking my last breath, and in a nanosecond, I lost all my atheistic worldviews. Like you said, I was a militant atheist back then. What amazed me that after I died, I was still alive. I was more alive then than I am now. I mean, it was like just an awakening in a new realm. It's just incredible. I found myself floating above my body. I had no worries. And next thing I knew, I went through the ceiling and entered this black void. And at that time, I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about near-death experiences, after-death experience, because being an atheist, I wouldn't believe it anyway. You know, you just wouldn't believe anything like that. I knew nothing. I was a blank slate. All I knew, I was alive. My body was laying there. I went through the ceiling. I was interjected into a black void heading toward a light, like a lot of people have say they do. You know, I never heard any of this stuff before. And I was in this black void, floating toward this light, hearing this very beautiful, beautiful, profound music. And I heard this beautiful, profound music, and it was explaining the mysteries of God, his nature, his character, the mysteries of the universe, if you will. Most of it was I can't really talk about because there's just no way to talk about it. But anyway, I was floating through there, and it was like I was being confronted with something. And because snippets of my life would be flashing before me, and I could see how I was taking advantage of certain characteristics of God with myself knowing it as well as not knowing it. I was taking advantage of God's gift. He gave me life. I was actually making life very ugly. And I never realized I was headed toward a reckoning because I felt this profound love and joy and never thought in a million years that God's love was actually going to be judging me. And that's how it all began, Randy.
Mm. And at that point that you felt judged and you encountered at that point Jesus. And that's the amazing thing. Because you really didn't know about him. And he told you something in advance of where you were going. What did he say?
Yes, I was floating through this void, and I landed before him and feet first, and I stood before him. And I knew who it was, you know, who was Jesus. And what it was like was having your, what he was showing me, how I gamed this system. I thought, you know, how I, how do you say it? I was just totally reprobate in my thinking, so to speak. I would take advantage of people. It's like my parents. God gave me a gift of life, gave me great parents, Southern Baptist parents, and gave me a great home. But I took advantage of all those things. I gamed the system, so to speak. I abused God's love. God's love makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. It gives you life. And I was taking advantage of it. I was using it for my own ends. I betrayed people. I robbed from people. At that time, one of the visions that came to me was a past event in my life where I sold drugs to the church youth group. And they got high during a skating thing, and they all came back wanting more drugs. And I knew nothing about drugs except what I read in a book. And that's how it all began for me. I did things I should not have done. And I just was taking advantage of God's love. And then God would show me all the different times he came to me, knocked on my door, so to speak, trying to get my attention. Like there would be about three or four very bad car wrecks that I miraculously avoided from being killed, as well as those who were with me being killed, as well as people that would come up to me and witness, and legitimate Christians, that is, and how I'd treat them and stuff. And I was like poking my finger in God's eye. That's basically how I lived my life. I had a chip on my shoulder. I accused God of being a big meanie. He doesn't want you to have any fun. I learned all this stuff, you know, from the media, from school, arts, entertainment, all that kind of stuff. Just as a young kid, when I was growing up, inundated me to think that there was no God, or that God owed man an apology. And basically I bounced from agnosticism into full-blown militant atheism when this happened.
Wow. So you were an atheist at this point. Jesus told you that you could not enter into heaven because of this. And then he said something to you that you would carry with you to your experience in hell.
Yeah, he after he showed me all the experience of him saving my as many times from accidents and stuff, and he showed me, you know, what I was really like on the inside, and that I don't deserve heaven. If I was allowed in, I'd simply corrupt it. And so what he said to me, he said, you will see a land unknown that's best forgotten, but not to remain left unseen. When you come to a point of overwhelming, say my name and my title. And and also he said, returning is an option to be yet decided. That was the kicker, because it was like a, you know, I'm flummoxed. I had no idea. I wrote in my book, A Land Unknown, Hell's Dominion. I mean, I was flummoxed. I was just like a deer in the headlight. Look, yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. And that was basically it. And so here I was. I was picked up by a force after that and went to a door. This door rolled up like a scroll. And I went into that door, and I was in the tornado vortex like place, and it smelled awful. A lot of foul language and different languages coming at you. You hear this, it was very hot. You heard all this noise. It was like being inside of a tornado. I came to a yellowish dent, and it was a light. I came through it, fell through the sky, bounced on the ground. And I knew I was headed for an awful place. And what I recall, people talk about hell and stuff as devils and pitchforks and flames and fire. Well, I bounced on the ground and found myself on a hill going. I looked down a valley, and there's a house on the other side, and all these people come running out of the house, people who I know who have died or whatever, and they came down and welcomed me to paradise. This wasn't paradise, because the tree was dilapidated, things looked dead, it was extraordinarily hot, and they came up to me slapping me on my back, and I said that. A couple of people came up to me and said, you can't be you because you ain't dead yet, you know, or you can't be in paradise because I know what you did. And then they would change and morph into another person. And I thought that was strange. Then their eyes looked like alligator eyes, or like a yellow reptilian type eyes. And then they turned into what they were. These were these hellish creatures, or the demonic beings, you want to call them. And different shapes and sizes. The taller ones had authority over the smaller ones. and they like they're going to overwhelm me and tear me to shreds. And that's when I started to say Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, because he told me to say his name and his title. And they could not grab a hold of me and rip me to shreds. They can poke me and they can threaten me, but they couldn't grab me. And that means a lot to me at that time. And that's pretty much how it started, this whole thing. And this creature, he stood about 4'8" tall. He had breath that was so foul that it would be like heat waves coming off the pavement out of his mouth. That's how foul it was. I could never see how many eyes. He kind of looked like a little dinosaur type thing, a reptilian type entity. And I nicknamed him Lizard Breath because his breath was so foul. After I came back, that's what I nicknamed him. And so he came over and told me, come follow him. I offer you half the kingdom. It's been granted to you to see this place. He hated my guts. I mean, I tell you, I tell you, you know, someone hates you that much. And he walked over and he stuck his hand in what looked like the horizon and ripped it open. And he stepped out of there. And I didn't know what to do. I just followed it and went through that opening and stood out. And I stepped up out of it onto a wide dusty road, and behind me what I came out of was a cube or a cell, like the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chambers of death, or Ezekiel chapter 32 talks about the graves or graves round about or sepulchers or dungeon cells like around in this pit. So I found myself in a pit in this place. It was like a bottomless pit. So all I can describe, there's an open place in the middle. These tornado vortexes were dropping people off inside of these cells. And plus these entities, these demonic entities, were escorting people and placing them in cells at the same time. I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to think about it. And I just sat there and I looked at it. And this thing was talking to me in a hellish language and I could understand it. And I looked inside the cells and I could see people inside the cells. I had instant download of their life history. And in this instant, and this thing was going to show me this place. And I don't know why he was showing me, because at the time I wanted to wake up, because this was terrifying. And even when I was getting ready for this, I had to take a break and calm down a little bit, because sometimes the memories can be a little intense. And so I just remember that part, coming out, looking at all these entities, bringing these people in, watching these tornado vortexes in, dropping people off in these cubes, and this thing saying, come follow it. And so that's what I did. And that's what happened. That's how I got to this place. It was the pit of hell.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, you saw people there. You knew their station in life before they had died.
Mm-hmm.
You account for a former pastor, I think. I don't know. I've forgotten what era, who was had, you know, slept with many women.
Yeah.
And then you saw one person in particular. And I've got to ask you, I will let you say who that is, but he is probably the most despised man in all of history, recent history, certainly.
Yeah, I saw so many people there, and you see their life history and stuff. And so we were walking along this wide, dusty road, looking inside these cells, and I was granted the ability to just know who they were. And then some instances we were able to go in between the cubes. The cubes are like a bricklayer, and when it's since around, they kind of open up in little V-shaped formations in the rooms, and it winds back behind there. So we'd squeeze through the sides of it and go in the back. So we kind of wind back around, down and around. I can't explain how it all is in the short amount of time we have here, but I ended up in a place where some of the worst of the worst of the worst people were. And the individual that I saw that I mentioned also in a docudrama that was done on me was Adolf Hitler. He was inside at that time. This was 1980 when this happened. He was inside of what I would call a fiery furnace, like Auschwitz, where they put the bodies and they were burning them. And he was going through what every single victim went through, from their arrest, from their arrival, from their strip down to where they were gassed, every single one, and felt every single thing, man, woman, and child. And that's what I saw. and he wasn't being reformed. He was getting crazier. That's all I got to say. His real nature was really coming forth.
We'll be right back with part two of our podcast after this message. Hello again. This is The Watchman. Please join us each week for an exciting and inspirational podcast dealing with angel encounters, heavenly visitations, near-death experiences, as well as modern-day prophecies that are relevant to us today. So tune in each week and share it with your friends. After all, they could use a little inspiration in their life, too. That's the Watchman on the Wall podcast, and now you can find us on YouTube. We return now with part two of our podcast with the near-death experience of Brian Melvin.
It seemed like, Brian, that the sins that they had committed, and some of them just vile sins, obviously, that they were being replayed over and over in their life in this place. Is that what it was like?
Yeah, it was. It was very much like that. Like I looked into a cell and I saw a man from, he died days gone by, and he was attending this costume party. He was in a kind of elitist snob, is all I can say. And he appeared to be enjoying himself because he liked charades and putting on these funny masks. But it was like suddenly it shifted and he was in nightmare stage when the attendees began to ridicule and mock him like he would do everybody else. And he felt the pain of the ridicule. So what the Bible says, what you sow is that is what you reap. I saw so many people in there. I saw this lecherous old time revival preacher who wasn't really a preacher at all. He wasn't ever saved, but he liked to exploit his position to have his way with the ladies. And he was there reaping what he's sown. And real quickly, I saw one particular person, her name was Dear Pudding, and she arrived. She died in a car wreck. She died, and she landed in front of me in this in the tornado vortex, and knocked on this door and opened. And that's a cube or cell. Looked like her grandparents' farm. She went in, thought she saw all her dead relatives welcoming her to paradise, and she really thought she was there. And maybe if she was resuscitated too soon, maybe she would be on Oprah Winfrey and all those shows. But anyway, she went in there and she found out that she wasn't in a nice place. And it transpired that she was like, she reaped what she sowed. And there's these big creatures I saw there, looked like trees. And so her what appeared to be her grandmother, which was a demonic being, said, go rest under the shade of the trees. I'll bake you your favorite cookies. And you're down at this new farm here, and it's your favorite place. So she went over there, and there's no water in hell, but she thought there was water. So she sat on this rock, picked up a bunch of sand, and she realized this wasn't a nice place because she heard the noise and felt the heat. And these two tree-like things were like tentacle-like, squid-like beings, looked to her like trees, and they engulfed her. And she was very mean to her kids. She was a control freak. She beat her children with a hairbrush because she wanted them to be, in this family, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. You're not going to be a lowly truck driver. You know, you're not going to be an astronaut. You're going to be a doctor. And that's the way she raised her kids. But everybody else thought that she was so nice, but she was reaping what she has sown right then and there. All that, when those creatures reached her and grabbed her, that's exactly what went into her mind. She saw that, how she really treated people.
Wow. And all this time, the demon that you called Lizard Breath, he was speaking out to you, vile things. And then it goes back to what Jesus had told you at the very beginning before going to this land unknown. And that is to cry out his name. And that prevented you from being drawn in or, kept in that place?
Mm-hmm. Well, he gave me permission. I didn't understand all this at the time, but I'm looking back at hindsight now. And so from hindsight, he told me his name. I knew nothing about the power of his name. I did not know anything about this stuff, but I learned quickly there's power in the name of Jesus. They can't grab a hold of you and they can't pull you down.
And you're ministering now. You're obviously not an atheist anymore. You are born anew in Jesus, and you are preaching or teaching from his word. But you did return, mm-hmm. and you were still an atheist at that time, or when did you become a believer?
Well, my neighbor found me, and I was taken to the hospital where I recovered. Well, they didn't, my blood was viscous at the time, and I didn't understand all the stuff, but they diagnosed me with cholera. They diagnosed me with cholera, and then next thing I knew, I was on my, I don't know how long I was in the hospital, but I came home, and my roommates that I rented rooms to in this duplex had to go to work that next morning or whatever morning. I don't recall what day it was, whatever, but I couldn't go to work. So I sat in a beanbag chair in my duplex apartment, and I just didn't know what to think. I didn't know what to tell anybody. And so I just sat in the beanbag chair and I said, Lord Jesus, I never want to go back to the awful place. Take me, I'm yours. That was my salvation prayer. I meant it. And at that moment, I'm not kidding, a cool breeze came in that duplex apartment with a swamp cooler. It was 94 degrees inside, but it felt like air conditioning went inside me. And I haven't been the same since. That's how I got saved.
Well, I guess you got the hell scared out of you, literally.
That's right. So, really did.
Yes. And speaking of that, Brian, you suffered from this. It was almost worse than going into warfare, because you were in the pit of hell, and you suffered from what is called post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And you suffered from that for a period of time. But God did something in your life to heal you of that suffering. What happened?
Oh, yes. At the time, you know, I didn't know. I couldn't come to terms with it. I was a Christian, new Christian, and I was... And I suffered sight, sound, smells, PSD. I didn't know what PSD was back then. And so I was having nightmares, things would trigger the memory and all that. But what the Lord did for me was simply allowed me to see heaven. And some people say, oh, you people don't go to heaven. Well, God can do what he wants. He changes not. Like an old pastor argued with me, says, you know, it's appointed once the men to die. And I just don't believe that it just happened. I said, well, is Jesus yet today? Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? And he goes, yeah. And then I ask him, what changed? He raised Lazarus from the dead. He wants to give somebody a vision of heaven, and he most certainly can, right? Oh, yeah. So and that's what he did for me. So an open vision, or translated there, or as Paul would write, in the body or out of the body. I'm no Paul by any stretch, but it's just... that's what happened. And so one night when I was in a very bad mood, he wasn't looking for this to happen, and he allowed me to see heaven. He just and called you, me up there.
he gave you open, whether you were transported or, as you said, with Paul, in the body, out of the body, but you had this vision now of heaven and in diametrical opposition to hell. What did God show you in heaven?
What he showed me in heaven was, it was more for me to be healed by. It was because at the time I never wanted to go to hell again. So I was always trying to work to keep myself saved or whatever. That's what I was doing. And, I was involved in so much ministry work at the time, head intercessor of the church, studying in the ministry, studying this, studying that. And so next thing I knew, I was in heaven, and he showed me this tour of heaven to calm me down about seeing hell. And he showed me some mysteries, some stuff that was in heaven that I'm writing a new book on. Hopefully I can get it done soon and just share some of these things. It wasn't like some new revelation or anything. It was like substantiating what's in the Bible in a different, in a degree of intensity. That's what he showed me. He showed me things in heaven about, I call it a field of reunion, where great reunions were made. People enter into heaven through the pearly gate, so to speak, and they stand there, and every single issue in their life, you know, maybe they lost a loved one, or what really shocked me was people who lost their little kids, even through abortion, and they're Christians now. They come through there, and there's their child there. And they grow up before their eyes, like a little baby crawling up. And the one woman had an abortion. She felt so guilty about it. And the baby crawled up to her and said, "Hi, Mom," as a young man. "And we got all eternity together, Mom." And I start crying when I think of this. And that's exactly what it was like. There's this reconciliation. That's why I call it a field of reunion and reconciliation. And every tear is dried. There's no more tears. It's just a phenomenal thing. And the love there is so profound, I can't even describe it. And I kind of long for it, especially in these days and times, Randy. I want to get back there.
Definitely
in God's
all.
Time.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. And that experience in heaven, and you were saying the contrast of redemption in heaven versus condemnation in hell, you actually lived through that diametrical opposition of those two places. But you were a believer in Jesus. Obviously, you were allowed to go into heaven at that point. When you returned from that vision or being transported to heaven, and you came to, there's some things that happened to you subsequent to that experience. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was healed of PTSD. I came back and I didn't worry about my salvation because I learned that John 10 talks about it. No one's able to snatch you out of his hand. If you're truly born again, if you're truly saved, there's no way you're going to lose your salvation. I know people argue with me on that, but I'm talking about truly born again people. There's true converts and false converts. That's one of the things that was drilled into me from up there. There are false believers, false brethren who think they're saved, and there's true believers. If you're a true believer, you go through a process. He's what he showed me. He's going to heal your broken heart. He's going to set you free from certain things. He's going to, whatever bondage you are, he's going to release you from that in due process of time, called sanctification. And you'll be getting rid of the junk in your trunk, so to speak. And that's what happened to me. And that's what I like to share with people. And I pray for people for that as well, to help them come out of these problem areas in their life that they have, because that's what Jesus came to do. And that's what I learned and came back from heaven. And that's what I've been implementing since I came back. I have a sense of knowing who I am in Christ as a believer. I know my authority. I know that I have no righteousness of my own ability. I am a wretch inside, but it was through what God declared to me, to all believers, like in the book of Romans says, he declared us righteous, blameless in his sight because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I can rest in his word because that word will come to pass in my life. And it will also reveal what's inside that needs to be changed. And he's great at changing us.
He certainly is. Brian, I'm going to ask you one final question, and that is, why do you think that you had this opportunity, this second chance?
That's the thing that's troubled me. It's one of the things I struggle with PTS the most was, why was I allowed to come back and no one else did? And that kind of weighs on you. And some people call it survivor's guilt, but it's like, I really honestly do not know. All I said is, take me, I'm yours, Lord, do with me as I dispense. And like he told me, he says, at an appointed hour, tell them, you know, of this land unknown that's best forgotten, but will not remain left unseen. And so only thing I can say is maybe to share this message, preach the gospel, talk about heaven, and get as many people into the kingdom of God as possible.
Well, I wish we had time to preach more, because there's a lot more, isn't there?
And
I mean, the great news is that if you know Jesus as your Messiah, then you are destined for heaven. And thank you so much, Brian, for joining us today. And the great news is, if you are in Christ Jesus, be of good cheer, because heaven is in your future. Until next time, take care and God bless.
Hello again, this is The Watchman. Please join us on our new video channel called Encounters from Beyond the Veil. It's the same exciting content as our audio podcast, but in a shorter, but yet a video format. Also, please subscribe so you won't miss any of our episodes. That's Encounters from Beyond the Veil, exclusively found on YouTube. Well, thanks again for listening, and if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with your friends. Any comments or suggestions you may have, you can send to thewatchmanonthewall2020@gmail.com. We encourage you to subscribe so you'll always be notified of our future episodes. Well, thanks again, and we'll see you next time on the Watchman on the Wall podcast.